yesterday and looking at it, it wasn't like that, was it? But there is one thing that is still identical. The gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we're going to unpack that a bit today, because yesterday we enjoyed, didn't we? As Kerry was saying to me, ripping all the paper off the parcels, and then you don't know what each child has got or who it's from. All the excitement of that. We enjoy the turkey and all the stuffing and all the chocolates. And we turn the TV on and you think there's going to be a carol service of some sort and there isn't. It's some comedy program. But you know, Christmas Day is wonderful. But for a lot of people on their own, it isn't wonderful. But there is still the gift of Jesus Christ. That if you're on your own, if you've been bereaved, if you're in hospital, if you're homeless, there's still that wonderful gift of Jesus. And that's what we're going to unpack. We're going to unpack that today, quite briefly. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the words I bring this morning would be your words. Holy Spirit, I need your guidance. I need your direction. And Lord, we just say thank you for Jesus. Amen. Amen. A few of you are with me still. Do you know, yesterday we probably received gifts, and if I asked each one of you, what did you receive, you probably would come up with one or two, but you'd forget the chocolates you've eaten, you'd forget the bottle of Prosecco you might already have drunk with Christmas lunch. You forget things. Now, if I asked you what you received last year, you'd probably scratch your head and say, I'm not altogether sure I remember. Think I got so-and-so. Why do I say this? Because gifts get old, gifts get shabby, gifts get thrown away. Yes, we know, some gifts are so special, like the children's shoebox appeal. And you hear of a kiddie who got a gift in Africa years ago and a shoebox still got it because somebody thought of that child. Some gifts, whether they're shabby and old, we hang on to. But there is a gift. As I said earlier, a gift that will stay with us forever. The wise men brought gifts to Jesus, and we're going to read Matthew 2. If you've got your Bibles, 1 to 12. If not, you've probably got it on your phone. If not, just listen. And by the way, if you're visiting us today, welcome. It's lovely to have you with us. I know many of ours are visiting family away, but it's lovely to have you with us. So, Matthew 2, we're just going to read the Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so I too may go and worship him." And after they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And as we just briefly look at that scripture, you probably think to yourself, Herod, let me just tell you, King Herod was a very evil, a very jealous, a very insecure, a very controlling man. And he killed people. And when you read there that Jerusalem was disturbed, when the king was disturbed, everybody in Jerusalem knew he'd be executing people. And so they trembled in their boots. He killed his son, he killed his wife. Not a very good king, you'll agree with me. And I know that he would have really been upset by this. The Magi went to the palace because they thought that's where a king would be born. But you do really need to realize too that if we read on in our story about Joseph and Mary going to Egypt, they ran, they fled King Herod's edict to kill all baby boys under 2 years old because he wanted to get rid of King Jesus. But we know God had another plan. And we look at Bethlehem and we realize Bethlehem was 6 miles south of Jerusalem. So the Magi went to the palace and then there was all this kerfuffle in the palace. So let's just think of the Magi for a moment. There's no mention of three kings. Now my brother, when we were kids, my brother's no longer with us now, but my brother, when we were kids, he used to go around on Christmas Day singing, "We three kings of Orient are..." And he'd sing it nearly all day. And I used to really believe there were three kings. There are no mention of three kings in the Bible. That is just a tradition that's come about. And it's believed the Magi came from Babylon. And Babylon was about 400 miles away. And they would have traveled on camels. And there would have been quite a caravan of them. That's the word, young people, that you use for a load of camels, a caravan of camels. And so that would have taken them at least 2 to 3 weeks on camels. Can you imagine this? All these, they think they were astrologers. And then gradually they became priests. But they would have known these Magi about the Jewish prophecy of a king, Jesus, a Messiah to be born in Bethlehem. And they would have known it from Daniel and the Jews who were exiled to Babylon. And you can read all about that in the Old Testament. So Daniel's influence, if you remember, Daniel then became quite high up in Babylon. Daniel's influence would have affected these people, and they came. Now, the star, let's just think about the star. It was only a sign. You need to understand this, not an influence. There is no way a star can dictate or predict events on earth. It was a sign to the Magi. And then when you look at verse 11 in that reading, on coming to the house they saw the child with his mother. Hang on a minute, it's a house. It's not a stable. We think, because tradition has said it over the years as you look to the crib scene that we've got there in front of the tree, we think the wise men, and we've got the wise men there, we think they came to the stable. But they didn't, they came to the house. And theologians think over the years, they came actually to Nazareth because it took them so long to travel. They don't really know whether the baby was how old. But that's why King Herod gave the edict, all baby boys under 2 to be killed. So we don't know how long it was, but we believe it was Nazareth. And Nazareth was probably about 70 miles north of Bethlehem. So that just tells us a little bit about that scripture reading. So as we think about the bit I haven't unpacked, the gifts that the wise men brought, the gold symbolized Jesus' royalty. This is why the Magi went to the palace in Jerusalem. Frankincense symbolized Jesus' deity and was an incense used in sacrificial offerings. Myrrh symbolized suffering that Jesus was going to have, and was an anointing oil used in death. Jesus is God's gift to the world that will never wear out. It isn't a case you're thinking 5 years' time, what was the gift I received on the 25th of December 2022? He is eternal. He was before. He is now. He will be then. He goes on. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Hallelujah. John 3:16 is a scripture many of you know. Jesus is the greatest gift God could ever have given to humanity. He's the full expression of God's divine love and divine healing power. So what a statement of scripture that was that I just quoted from John 3:16. Jesus came to earth as a baby, which we're remembering today, the birth of Christ. God in the flesh, to live an earthly life for 33 years. He didn't commence his ministry till he was 30. He died a horrible death, a criminal's death, on a cross for you and me, for all mankind. 3 days later, he rose from the dead and he walked this earth for 40 days before ascending into heaven. And then he sent us his Holy Spirit on earth for all mankind to receive who believe and put their trust in him. How you and I need the empowering, indwelling Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. If Jesus hadn't have gone to heaven, he couldn't have been everywhere all at once. The Holy Spirit can dwell within each person who gives their heart to Jesus. And he does. And he guides us. And he helps us. 3 points I want to bring out. God's greatest gift of Jesus to all mankind meets all the criteria for a perfect gift. 3 points, quickly. First point, Jesus Christ reflects the one who gave him, God the Father. Now I want you all to realize that there is a God. Just look about you. Look at the wonder of a newborn baby. We've got a baby over there a few weeks old. Look at the little fingernails. Look at the little toes. Look at the eyes. Look at the perfection. There is a God. He's a creative God. Look at the wonder in the world around you. Don't look at what man has messed up. Look at the wonder of a flower opening. You know, you've got a beautiful flower from a bulb. It's amazing. Amazing. Second point, Jesus reflects the knowledge of our need for a Savior. We all get things wrong. You hear this word sin all the time. It just means missing the mark. We're missing God's mark. Sin is an old archery term for missing the bullseye with a bow and arrow. That's all it is. We miss God's mark. We don't come up to scratch. We can't get through life and manage on our own without a Savior. He paid the price on the cross for you and I who will receive him and accept him and believe in him, to have relationship with our Heavenly Father. You might have had a wonderful relationship with your earthly father. I didn't. I struggled with a Heavenly Father. I know my father meant well for me, but I didn't have a good relationship. But I can have a relationship with my Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Third point. Jesus' value is eternal. You and I can have relationship with Jesus now and for eternity. I just say, what a gift. Why wouldn't you want to take the wrapping off that gift? Do you know, when the parcels are under the tree, they're all wrapped up, aren't they? Lovely Christmas wrapping paper, bows, everything. And we can't wait to get into them. We tear the paper. I don't know what the kids do with them to get into them so quickly. My mother used to save the paper. Don't tear the paper, she'd say. Because you could reuse it another year. But we've got a gift of Jesus. This is the year to remember. He's a gift God has given me. He's given it to you. He's given to everyone in this auditorium. Everyone within the sound of my voice going out on the web. Everyone. This Christmas, God wants you and I to look carefully at the gift he's given us, to unwrap it carefully. Decide to unwrap it with care. Investigate what it really means. Examine it so that our friends and family can know we've received God's gift to humanity, Jesus Christ, today and every day. Do you know, as this year draws to a close, and it's drawing to a close rapidly, isn't it? And 2022 looms. Where's it all gone since 2000, since the millennium, since they said the world would end? We know the world will change. We know Jesus is coming again. but we don't know when. You and I need to think carefully, don't we? We need to think about our final destiny, our eternity. I'm mortal, I'm going to die, so are you. But I've got news for you. If you unwrap the gift of Jesus and ask him into your hearts, you will go into eternity with Jesus. Do you know, we don't get to heaven by osmosis. We don't get to heaven because grandma was a Christian or mum was a Christian. We don't get to heaven because we're religious and we just go to church every Sunday. We get to heaven because Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus. He tells me that in his word. And I believe it because I've asked him into my heart. Jesus is God's gift to mankind. I just want to ask us briefly a question. I don't want to rattle on today because I know the children are doing well. They're staying in. Thank you. You're doing really well, youngsters. Bless you because you're excited and you want to eat more chocolate. I'm sure Mum's brought a little bit for you to eat quietly. But I just want to ask us all a question. Have you noticed in the world there's a change? Have you noticed in the world there's an anger, there's a frustration? Wherever you turn in the world, turn on the telly, there's anger, frustration, bitterness, crossness, unforgiveness. Open a paper, the same. If you even talk to people, unless they're Christians in an environment like we all try to walk in, they're in a hurry. Oh, I'm in a hurry today, can't talk, I've got a problem. Do you know, we've all got problems, but people are what's important. People. Jesus came for people. 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 Jesus loves people. Jesus wants you and I to have time for people. So, but why are people like that? Well, you've only got to look at the angry defiance of King Herod I explained just now in our reading about the Magi coming to Jesus, and you start to realize man is insecure. Man is jealous. Man wants to be in control. Man, as Frank Sinatra used to say, wants to do it his way. Would you all agree? Everybody thinks they've got their own agenda. They're doing everything their own way. Sometimes they've been hurt. Sometimes they've had a terrible blow in life. Circumstances mess people up, we know. But that makes us realize we're getting nearer and nearer the time when Jesus will come back. People don't want God's moral ways. They think they're a chain around their necks. Even at Christmas, people don't want to know about Jesus. They'd rather know about Santa and his elves. Nothing wrong with that. But you do need to know about Jesus, God's gift to the world. And as Terry said last week, what about the way people blaspheme Jesus' name? Building sites, anywhere you hear it, don't you? And it's painful when you love Jesus. You don't want to hear it. But, I've got some good news for you. But, you know when I say the word but, it means beware, there's an underlying truth coming. Listen carefully. God laughs. God laughs at mankind's pathetic attempts to control. God laughs. Read Psalm 2. God laughs. He rules and he controls whether mankind believe it or not. Whether mankind believe in him or not. And he is returning to earth one day. Jesus is showing up again. And it won't be in the form of a baby this time. He's done that bit. He will be coming as a triumphant Lord. He will be showing up. So instead of trying to intellectually sort out who Jesus is as you unwrap the gift, why don't we just follow the Magi's guidance and just fall down and worship him and surrender our hearts? That's what they did. Let's remember the prophetic words given long ago before Jesus was born. The virgin will give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. If you want to hear more about that, listen to Terry's talk last Sunday at the carol service, because that's what he spoke on. What a gift! What a gift! Do you know, if you unwrap Jesus this year, and really, as Susan shared, we need to get closer to Jesus. We need to encompass his presence by the power of the Holy Spirit more and more in our daily lives. We need his help. We need him. We can't do it on our own. But we would never get lonely. We would never be afraid. We would never feel abandoned because we just call on the Savior's name. Why don't we do that first before we pick up a phone and say to someone, I've got a problem. I'm all scared. I feel lonely. We need to go to the Savior first. Nothing wrong with phoning a friend and getting some prayer. But we need to go to a Savior first. Call on the Savior's name. He's waiting. He's waiting. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you, children. He can see you, children. He can see you. He can see you, all you visitors. He can see every one of us. He's waiting. He loves you. He loves you. He wants a closer relationship with you and me. I pray for the Lord to awaken our souls this Christmas. That's our mind. Awaken our minds, Lord. Awaken our will. Awaken our emotions more and more and more to your wonderful free gift of Jesus. Let me ask each one of us, just briefly, where have you put your hope? Just think about it. Where have you put your trust? Where have you put your confidence? Mum and Dad won't save you. Your money won't save you. Your friends won't save you. Religion won't save you. Possessions won't save you. There's only one person who will. Who is it? Come on, louder.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. He is the one we put our trust in. He is the one we put our hope in. He is the one we put our confidence in. He will save us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Church, don't let the familiarity of Christmas dull the fact that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's the gift above all gifts. He's the gift that endures forever. Sally highlighted the fact that you've got those cards on your chairs. If you're really not sure about your relationship with Jesus, your walk with the Lord, or you just don't understand the difference between religion and Christianity, come along on that Saturday morning and have a chat. The whole team will be there, the leadership team. We're just having a cup of coffee and a chat. So if you want to chat and ask us questions, ask us questions. Ask us questions about the church, whatever. We'll do our best to answer you. And I also want to share something wonderful. We've got somebody, she's sitting over there now, I won't embarrass her. But next week she's going to share her testimony. Sandy is going to share her testimony. She was dying. COVID. Intensive care. Given up by the doctors. But Jesus. But Jesus. She's here. She's going to share testimony next week. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me pray before we watch this final video because I think this is important. Father, just still every heart. Every child, just still our hearts to know. Christ with us. The hope of glory. Because you're all there is, Lord. I can't do it on my own. None of us can do it on our own. We can only do it through you. We can have that peace. We can have that love. We can have that assurance. No matter how we blow it, you're with us. You'll help us. You'll pick us up. You'll dust us down because you love us and you've forgiven us. Lord, help each one of us to unpack more and more this Christmas time a wonderful gift of Jesus, God with us. And everybody said, Amen.